Hey guys, what's going on? It's Josh, JC Alfelto for The Writer's Lens, and this is episode 23, which I've titled, We All Wish We Could Be the Hero. And I think it's kind of a self-explanatory title, as it were, when it comes to just about anything we do in life. Most big stories we hear or listen to or read about tend to follow this ideal of this great hero. And we as readers or listeners tend to think that this is the ideal person that we should be aspiring to be. And I find it to be an absolutely fascinating topic because if you listen to my last episode, I was talking about the nature of good and evil as it pertains to story. And as big a topic as that is, and I was kind of kicking this around over the last week, I mean, how do you even follow up something as monstrous as the topic of good and evil, which I literally could probably spend a good, 10, 12 episodes on, just kind of extracting all the different implications of what's good and what's virtuous and what might be considered to be morally right and what is considered to be evil or wrong and perverse and just all these other kinds of things that would be associated with evil. But I said, you know what, let's just keep moving forward for now, and maybe we'll go back and visit that later, not to linger in one space for too long. But I thought to myself, what is it then that would naturally follow this concept of good and evil? And I just said, well, the hero, of course. I mean, because that's the character that we follow the most and the one that we strive to be the most like. And I think it's kind of maybe a no-brainer to say that, but I don't think people really consciously think about it, though, when you sit down and you watch a movie or you read a book that you know is going to entail some kind of great adventure. You don't necessarily sit down and go, oh, I can't wait to read about the hero. All right, I just don't know of anybody that does that consciously, but they do sit we sit and look for all those pieces, those attributes, those characteristics, those traits that are associated with what we would consider to be our ideal hero. And most really big stories get that right. They get this ideal that the hero should be aspiring to, this challenge that the hero is up against, these certain trials and errors that he's going to have throughout the course of his story that eventually will put on display everything about him that is good and maybe virtuous and maybe considered to be something that we want to aspire to be like. So it's your Luke Skywalkers, it's your Harry Potters, it's your, if you've read the Red Rising trilogy that I just did, it's your Darrows, okay? I'm trying to think of anything else I just read recently. It's your Ender Wiggins, if you're an Ender's Game series fan, as I am. And I could probably keep going down more examples there, but we'll just stop for the time being. But this whole concept of the hero, the hero's journey, as it were, is actual terminology that's used in storytelling. And it's something that a lot of creatives like myself sort of find out about as you're researching popular stories and you're researching old myths, and you start to see that there's kind of a recurring theme here, that there's this person that takes off on a journey, there's a call to action that they have. They have to resolve it, and I talked a little bit about this in my last episode, but basically it's this concept of a hero's journey. I mean, literally is what it's called. And Joseph Campbell was a guy that initially had kind of coined this phrase, and there have been others throughout literary history that have done this a similar thing, but he was the one that really kind of coined this as, look, this is the hero's path. This is the journey that every hero has to take. And there's varying degrees of what it is and what it looks like. And, the different things that a hero will be up against throughout the course of a story. And that you as a reader, or like I said, listener or viewer, will watch, and you'll kind of relate to your own life and go, oh man, I've faced something similar to that. Okay, maybe it wasn't a dragon, and maybe it wasn't the Dark Lord of the Sith or anything like that. Maybe it wasn't something that ominous and so obvious, but this concept of a challenge and this idea of there's something off in the distance that I have to get to, but there's all these roadblocks in my way. It's a very relatable concept, and that's what every hero has to go through. He has to go through these various challenges as he goes throughout his as he goes throughout his venture. I remember myself years ago when I was really kind of becoming awakened to East Asian culture, and like so many other teenagers in the 90s, I was becoming more accustomed with something called anime. And I don't mind admitting that it boomed in the United States, and I was part of that wave and that explosion that took place. But I remember watching the movie The Matrix, and this film, as much as it was influenced by a lot of East Asian culture and just storytelling dynamics, I remember seeing it for the first time and not really getting it. But I remember I remember really enjoying the main character Neo. And Neo was known as the One, all right? He was this guy that, he was like the chosen one. And he was eventually going to free all the people from the Matrix. And, you know, spoiler alerts, I always forget to say that. But I think if you're alive now, you might have at least seen it or know the ending by now. But why is it then that as a storyteller, why is it that you tell the story of the One and not somebody else in the story? You know, why is it? I mean, I think that's kind of an important question. Why is it, as a storyteller, do you want to tell the story of the One and base everything around him rather than telling the story of his sidekick or his supporting cast or Morpheus, who is the guy who found him, right? Like, why isn't that the main story? I mean, granted, there's spinoffs. I mean, there's stories about other characters. I mean, Hollywood is very synonymous with this, and authors do this too, where they'll write sort of these parallel stories where they're, after they've written about their primary protagonist, their absolute ideal hero, they'll write these, like I said, parallel stories that will kind of tell more backstory, or they'll tell more about the history of one of the supporting characters. But you, as a reader, you're not really as interested in that. You're interested in the you know, the main, you know, I almost said main squeeze, the main deal, you know, the main ticket that you've come to read about. You're not interested in everybody else. And why is that? You know, like why is it? I think that's a really important question to ask, because again, it's this concept that we're always striving to see the best and to want to be the best. And story does a phenomenal job of putting these kinds of things on display for us and putting them into new settings, new worlds, whether it be ancient history or whether it be present day or it be somewhere off in the future or in a galaxy, you know, long ago, far, far away. But these basic traits that become something that we want to aspire to pop up again and again and again and again. And that's important, because these are the things that are most interesting to us. We know we're not really as interested in the person who's second or third or fourth place. We're interested in the one who's leading, you know, the revolution, as it were. So I think that's very important. And I think, too, as someone that tells story and someone that observes a lot of story, this is a really key thing to remember, because as much as you're pushing this ideal, you also have to recognize that people out there are absorbing it, and they're taking it in, they're finding it entertaining, and they're learning from it, you know, in some regard. You're definitely learning from it because you're absorbing it. But the one thing I think that is so real in observing all this is the fact that we all think we would be that hero, or we want to be that hero. And this is kind of the unique tension that I think you find in any great story, is that I could read about the Iliad, you know, I could read The Lord of the Rings or The Silmarillion, and I could read about its most popular protagonist and the brave heroics that they went through and the things they had to do. You know, the fact that Katniss Everdeen volunteered herself as tribute in The Hunger Games, you know, so her sister didn't have to, you know, willingly putting herself out to the fire. You know, A Tale of Two Cities, I can't even remember the characters at this time, but, you know, putting himself in the stocks to be hung at the end of the story. We all hear these things and we go, yeah, you know, that was so great. That sacrifice was incredible. So admirable, so honorable to do that. And in somewhere in the back of our minds, I think we always think, like, I hope I could do that someday. Like, I could be someone that would be the hero in one way or another. I want to be the hero. And we all wish we would be. But I think reality tells us that those stories are very few, far in between, which is part of the reason why I think it's such an ideal, why we're so obsessed with heroes, because they're so rare. There's so few, you know, there's so many exceptions that we see And normally when you talk about outliers and the outcasts of society and things like that, you're talking about, you know, people that might be undesirable. But this is the inverse is true when it comes to heroes. Heroes, they may be the outliers, but they're incredibly desirable. I mean, be they male or female. You know, if they're heroes or heroines, they're totally desirable because of what they do, because of how they lead others, how they can influence others, the traits that they have, the way that they conquer every challenge that comes their way. They're incredibly desirable. And one of the things I've really been learning myself, I mean, just, you know, through my own walk of life in this, you know, brief 33 years I've been alive, is that this concept of, you know, thinking I would be the hero is also kind of a tragic myth that you can make yourself believe and lead yourself down to disappointment in your waking life. I mean, a great example of this is I've been reading a book called Ordinary Men by Christopher Browning, and it's a fantastic book, and it catalogs some of the untold but now told stories of World War II Nazi German police officers. They weren't necessarily SS troops just yet, but it's about a police battalion, I believe it's 101, and how these average German soldiers, these guys that, well, they weren't even soldiers, they were just police officers being trained during the late 1930s, were one day woken up from their barracks and given an incredibly horrible task of liquidating a ghetto full of Jewish people. And the craziest part is that in the very first chapter, the gentleman, the captain, whoever was in charge, forgive me if I don't have the terminology right, but he literally pulled all of his men out and he said, "I've been given orders that we're going to go into this ghetto and we're going to liquidate it." And he then started weeping because of his orders that he was given, because this was not something that they were accustomed to doing, at least not yet. And the really fascinating thing is that he offered these guys a choice. He said, "You know, if you guys want to back out of this, any one of you can." And as I've been reading through this book, I've discovered that many of them did initially. You know, they put their guns down. They said, "I'm not going in there to shoot anybody. I'm not going in there to take anybody out. You know, this is not what I signed up for." And as I'm reading through this book, I'm seeing so many examples of people that had opportunities in the beginning to say, "No, I won't be a part of this chaos. I won't be a part of this slaughter." And yet they went willingly. You know, they didn't rise up to the occasion. You know, it's not like that ending scene in Spartacus where they're looking for Spartacus. If you've ever seen the film, at the very end, there's that famous scene where, "I am Spartacus, I am Spartacus." Well, they're looking for this guy Spartacus, and there's all these men, all these slaves, they're hanging out on the hilltop, and an officer comes out to get him and says, "We're looking for Spartacus, he's wanted, you know, basically to kill him." And he realizes his fate, Spartacus himself realizes his fate, and he goes to stand up, and then the guy sitting next to him stands up and says, "I am Spartacus." And then all the other men start doing it, you know, they stand, "I am Spartacus, no, I am Spartacus." And basically it was done to protect him, because they all admired him. And we all kind of, in many ways, in a Hollywood sense, imagine that as being our fairy tale. We imagine ourselves as being part of this greater ideal and this great hero that we can aspire to be like. But oftentimes in real life, it doesn't always play out that way. But yet story is so powerful because there are instances where there is the hero that comes about and gives us that bit of inspiration that we need. And then as good storytellers do, they take that ideal, and they plug it into a new location, they plug it in with a new character, and they tell that story again, and we reinforce it, and we say, "Look, we still need to aspire to this. We still need to be striving for this ideal that is the hero, even if we don't always do it." I mean, I guess a little bit of personal story on my part is, you know, I'm a dad. I got two little ones now. I got a 2.5-year-old son and a 1-year-old daughter, a little girl just turned one, And more than anything, you know, I want to be a hero to them. You know, I want them to see me with this sort of gleam that when I would go to the ballpark and I would see my favorite baseball player on the field, like Andre Dawson or something, that's just sort of like awe. And the reality is that you do a great job of that for the most part. If you really are trying, if you're really intentional about it, you can do a great job. But you don't always get it 100% right. But you still want to strive to do that. And, you know, I I like to think that I do it pretty well for the most part, but every day is a new challenge, so I can't pat myself on the back for what I did yesterday. I always got to keep moving forward with every new challenge that comes my way. I don't think it's called the hero's journey. I just think it's called the fatherhood journey, as it were. But basically, just to summarize again, this concept of wanting to be the hero, I think it's a really intriguing topic, and how we as just readers and people who hear stories over and over again, we love to hear good endings, happy endings, but we also like to be entertained too, which is why you don't always have those great endings. But we love to hear the good stuff about a great character, about a hero or a heroine that pulls through in the end and really ends up conquering something, because we ourselves want to conquer life's trials and tribulations. And again, I think that's why storytellers have such a great burden, as it were, and responsibility to help reinforce this and to keep people moving forward and to inspire them. So again, a lot to pull out of that and to unpack in a shorter episode. But like I said, I wanted to kind of hit some of these points, then maybe come back to them later a few episodes from now. So hope you guys are enjoying this new year and this new series I'm doing with The Writer's Lens. I promise to have some interviews coming up in the coming months, and also some big news. I know I kind of teased that a bit at the end of last year, how I had some big news coming, but I promise that I do have big news coming soon as far as my own writing is concerned, not just about this podcast. So just keep staying tuned in, ladies and gentlemen, as I do appreciate the support and your listening. So until next time, it's Josh JCL Felter for The Writer's Lens. I'll catch up with you guys again later.